Thanks to Indeed for supporting the Productivity Show. Right now, small businesses have to be more efficient than ever. Every hire is critical. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, so get a free $75 credit at indeed.com/TPS. Terms and conditions apply, and offer is valid through September 30th. Thanks also to Sleep Cycle for supporting the Productivity Show. Sleep Cycle is the app that will help you improve your sleep. Go to sleepcycle.com/TPS and get access to Sleep Cycle Premium for 7 days absolutely free. Thanks to Blinkist for supporting the Productivity Show. Blinkist condenses the best key takeaways from thousands of nonfiction books down to just 15 seconds. Try Blinkist free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription at blinkist.com/TPS.
Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We help tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Have you ever been working on a project and you just realize you just made massive amounts of progress? It feels like just the time just flew by, and instead of feeling drained after, you feel awesome and energized. Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about how to get into a flow state, because that's what that is. And we're going to show you 5 different tools that you can use to get yourself there consistently. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/314. And now, on with the show. All right, we are back for another episode of The Productivity Show. How are you today, Brooks?
I'm excellent. A little sunburned, had a weekend getaway, which I know is really helpful to know when you're listening to a podcast. But other than that, I'm good. I'm respecting the tomato on camera.
What kind of SPF do you typically need if you don't want to get sunburned?
Oh, I don't know. I just go with whatever my wife gives me, but I'm sure she knows me, so it's got to be pretty high.
Well, I am not sunburned. I've been staying inside for the most part and then going out at night, which doesn't typically have a lot of sunlight. So I'm feeling pretty good about today, and I'm really excited to talk about flow states today. So we're going to be sharing some tips and strategies to help you get into flow, where you can just focus tremendously on one particular task or item that you want to get done. And sometimes, you know, you just forget that time is flying by, right? How can we do that consistently? That's something we're going to be talking about today. But before we start diving in, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Tan Pham, founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And I have my co-host Brooks Duncan here, who is the COO of Asian Efficiency. And Brooks, one of the things we always like to do, of course, is share some of our favorite productivity resources as of lately. And I know you have 3 of them here today. So would you mind sharing what you got in store for us today?
All right. So here are 3 things that we've really been enjoying. Number one is an app we have talked about on the podcast before, but it's been really helpful lately. And that is Trip Mode. So Trip Mode is an app for Windows or for Mac. And what it lets you do is control which apps and background processes can access your network. So if you're on your network at home, probably don't need it. However, if you're out, and especially if you are tethering, like using mobile data, it comes in really, really handy. My son's been doing a basketball camp this week, and because of pandemic-y reasons, I can't go to my normal places. I would go like Starbucks or whatever. So I've been working outside in a park using mobile data, and Trip Mode has been saving me from, you know, having iCloud eat up all my data plan. So big fan of Trip Mode. Number 2 is a meditation app called Headspace. So Headspace is actually the very first meditation app I used. It's actually what helped me get into meditation. And it's an app that teaches you how to meditate through guided meditations. And there's a whole bunch of features. The introduction to meditation course that I did way back in the day is really fantastic. So if you're looking to get into meditation, Headspace is a great place to start. And number three, just like the recent episodes we did on GTD, getting things done, it would be remiss if I didn't mention this. And it's the book called Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. I'm sure I massacred that pronunciation. Apologies. It's this book I have sitting right here on my desk, and it's what we're going to be talking about today. And it's a book about the state of consciousness called flow. So it teaches you how to order the information that enters your consciousness, discover true happiness, really improve the quality of your work and your life. My wife, for whatever reason, keeps this book in our bedroom. She only has like two books that she keeps in the bedroom, and this is one of them. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe being married to me makes her need to return to this from time to time. I'm not sure, but it's a really powerful book, and we wanted to finally do a podcast episode all about the concepts in it.
So we'll have links to all of that in the show notes as well. So you can go to theproductivityshow.com/314, or if you're listening to us on the podcast app, you can just swipe and you'll see the links in there as well. So let's talk about flow states today. And if you're unfamiliar with this concept of flow state or what flow is, don't worry, we're going to walk you through what it is and how you can use it to make the most out of your experience working and getting stuff done. If you're already familiar with the concept, but you get easily distracted, this episode is great for you as well. And I know some of you are already familiar with the idea of flow states and what flow is. If you're in that camp, we have some additional tips and strategies to help you get there consistently, because I think that's a big part of the game today, where if you're already advanced, there's something about being able to consistently get into flow states like day in, day out, whenever you want to, that really enhances your life experience and also makes you so much more productive and efficient. So, Brooks, for those who don't know what a flow state is, can you kind of quickly explain what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, flow state is something I think we've all experienced, but maybe we didn't call it by that name. You know, sometimes you call it being in the zone or, you know, hashtag crushing it. But a flow state is a term. It's first coined by and noticed. You know, he didn't invent it. We've all experienced it, but it's first noticed by the author of that book, Flow, that I just mentioned, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. And it's a term to describe being fully immersed in a task, to the point where everything else fades away. And like I said, we've all experienced that. You've been working away and all of a sudden all this time has passed and you haven't checked social media, you haven't checked your email, you've just been consistently taking action on whatever it is that you're working on. And it really allows you to get involved in this state that nothing else seems to matter. It's just, but you're enjoying it. Like you might not be doing something pleasurable necessarily, but you're enjoying the forward momentum that you have. And when you finish, you just feel energized, feel that you really got something accomplished. And it's important because once you learn to enter this flow state and you learn that, like when you know how to get into that flow state, and it'll make easy problems easier, and it lets you level up. It lets you really be able to tackle more complex problems because you can just enter that flow state and just make progress, where people who can't do it are kind of stuck in a lot of cases, spinning our wheels and distracted and that sort of thing.
I think if I think about a flow state, I think about, like you said, the common term that most people have heard of is being in the zone. I think we've all experienced that, where you focus on something, you do something, and then all of a sudden you look at the clock and you go, wow, 1 hour went by, 2 hours went by, a whole afternoon went by. And you go, wow, I had no idea time flew by like that, right? That is a feeling and an experience that we can have every day and every time we want it. And if you can utilize that on a productive basis, where you go, okay, I need to get this particular thing done, let's kind of like get into this flow state where you focus on this particular task or project and then work on it, you can make tremendous results and you can make a lot of progress in a very short period of time. So this is something that I think everyone would benefit from. And the last time I've been in kind of like a flow state like that is even today when I was working out. I was working out with my personal trainer and time went by just super quick. And by the time I was done, I was like, wow, I can't believe the workout is already over. Like I was just so in the zone. Where if I'm working on Asian efficiency, if I'm like crunching numbers, for example, if I look into income statements and I look at some of our Google Analytics data, I go, wow, okay, this is really interesting. Let me start digging in. And I get into this flow and you go, Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to be eating right now, or I haven't eaten for a few hours now because I was just so focused on doing this particular task. And we're going to help you identify today how to find those particular tasks and what to do and how to set yourself up for that. But Brooks, was there a particular moment in time that you recently remember where you were into that kind of flow state?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, and there's been lots of examples. Like the most recent one is recently we developed a new course called Microsoft Teams Masterclass, and it's part of our Productive at Home course, which we've talked about on the podcast before. We wanted to enhance it, and so we created that. And while the whole AE team contributed to it and helped out, it just worked out that I tended to do most of the development for it. And yeah, like you know, sometimes we all have those days where the clock seems to go slowly and you still have stuff to do, but you're checking email, you're checking social media, you're just able to be distracted. But during the time of developing that course, I was just in total flow state. I'd just be almost like a robot sitting down, cranking away, and it just made like a huge amount of progress in a short period of time. And that was an example of when I was in flow state. And it's funny, I was thinking about this because today in a meeting at AE, Tan asked all of us, you know, what was your first job out of college or higher education or whatever your school was? And mine, I mentioned to him, was working for the provincial government here in British Columbia, where I live, as an accounting clerk one. And one of the tests I had was I had to file away massive amounts of file folders. The higher accounting clerks would be doing work with it. And because I was the bottom of the totem pole, it would be my job to file them away. This was before a lot of it was really digitized. And I was thinking about that because being in a flow state doesn't necessarily mean you enjoy the work. It doesn't really mean that the work is pleasurable. Like there's nothing pleasurable. I can tell you that from personal experience, there's nothing pleasurable about filing away file folders for an hour or whatever it is. However, I was able to get in that flow state and just grind through it. And the act of doing it and doing it well and doing it quickly was enjoyable to me. And I kind of like made a game out of it and that sort of thing. And that's one thing my managers even told me at that time. And one of the reasons I was able to get promoted quite quickly is because they said that I approached the non-pleasurable tasks with the same enthusiasm as the more fun tasks. And I think if you're able to get into that flow state, I didn't know what it was called at the time, if you're able to get in that flow state when needed, really helps you in your career.
So there's three components to getting into a flow state, and we have five tips and strategies to help you here today. So before we start diving into the five things here, Brooks, can you explain to everyone what the three components are and what you need to get into a flow state?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that will help you get into a flow state. And like you said, we're going to talk about some tools that will help you get there. But really, in my experience, and this is something the book talks about as well, is there's three kind of, like you said, overarching things that really you need to get there. Number one is clarity of goals. And that doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as finding your why, which is something we've talked about on the podcast a number of times. That is important too, like knowing what it is that you want to do and why you want to do it. That's important. But clarity of goals means you need to know what you're going to be doing in a more granular level. It's not just a big picture why, it's knowing what it is you're going to need to do. Because if you have to stop and figure things out and figure out what it is that you need to do and you're not really sure, you know, that is part of a great work session too. But you're not going to get in that flow state if you have to keep stopping and figuring stuff out. Flow state is you know what it is you're going to do, and then you're going in to do it. Number two is feedback. So have some way of knowing that you're making progress. So if you're filing away file folders, it's that shrinking pile of file folders. If you're creating a digital course, it is seeing the things that you're creating, having people sending it off to people to review, and just being able to make your way through the plan that you have. You need to know that you're making progress on what it is that you're doing. And number three is having a single activity that you can direct your attention to. So what this means is if you are approaching something and there's like a ton of different things that you need to do, like any, you know, that's anything we need to do. We rarely have one thing to do. However, you need that ability to break it down into a single thing that you can put your focus on. If you're trying to do a bunch of things at once, you know, maybe you will make progress, but you definitely won't be able to get in that flow state where you're just grinding through.
So let's get into the five tips and strategies here for getting into a flow state. And if you think about the three components we just talked about, you'll start to see that they come back into these tips and tools that we're about to share. So the first thing that we recommend here is that you want to create a flow state ritual. And as you know, we are big fans of rituals at Asian Efficiency, where we create actions and simple steps that allow you to do something repetitively, right? And it's better than a habit, because a habit can be really vague and kind of like grand scheme of things, where we like to get into nitty gritty details, where we say, hey, we want to do X, Y, and Z, or step 1, 2, 3 in this order. And that's why we always talk about rituals, because they're very specific and detailed. And so what you want to do is you want to create a series of actions that you do every single time you're about to begin your task. That is the ritual that you want to create. And this ritual will help you put kind of like in the single track mindset that is required to get it into a flow state. So on a grand scheme of things, there could be like a morning ritual that you implement to help you kind of get started and eat your frog, right? That's kind of like a typical progression we always talk about on the podcast and inside of our courses, where as soon as you wake up, you go through a morning ritual and that kind of sets you up for the day. And then you eat your frog. You do the hardest thing first thing in the morning and get that out of the way. So you set yourself up for a really productive day, right? And it's a great way to kind of like signal to your brain that you're kind of getting ready to get into this state of mind where you go, okay, I need to focus. I need to do one thing at a time. And I need to get my mind, my body, my attention redirected in a way where it's just one thing. And then you just go and get stuff done, right? Or GSD, as some people like to say. And so I'm kind of curious to hear from you, Brooks, then is, do you have a ritual for kind of like getting into a flow state, or is this something that you kind of like accidentally discover and you kind of like do it, you know, ad hoc? Like, how do you kind of approach this?
Yeah, I sure do. When I'm sitting down and getting ready to crank it out, if I do happen to be here at my office, it's pretty consistent what I do. I go upstairs, I refill my water, make sure that I've got my mug full of water. In the morning, I'll have done my journaling so that I have really broken down what it is that I need to do for that day. I kind of use my journal for that, like we've talked about in previous episodes. Number three, I put my focus music playlist, or more commonly, one specific track on repeat. So for me, it's the Night King from the Game of Thrones soundtrack. If I'm going into like serious flow state mode, I will put that song on repeat. So it just plays over and over again. And that is when that music's playing, my brain knows, okay, we are not giving half attention. We know we're going into flow mode. Then I'll put whatever it is I'm working on. Usually what I try to do is put it up so the app is like front and center on my screen. And then if there's any reference material or anything, I kind of put it off to the side. If at all possible, it's not always possible, but if at all possible, I like to have like, even though I have a big monitor, if I'm writing, I like to have Ulysses like covering my whole screen so that nothing else is distracting me. And then that series of steps, if that happens, there's a very good chance that what happens next is going to be very flowy, so to speak.
Anyone who's been following the Productivity Show for a while knows that I'm a big like sports fan. I love watching sports. I love watching the action behind the sports, meaning the storyline, what's going on in athletes' lives and the teams that I follow. And one of the things that I've noticed is that all the athletes have a routine of getting ready for getting into game shape, and then also a routine for actually playing the game, right? So a lot of basketball players, like LeBron James, as an example, he's now on my Lakers, which is awesome. And hopefully they're going to win the championship this year. And one of the things he does is he has this pregame ritual where he goes through like a certain routine, and it's the same thing every single game, right? And I've listened to a lot of different podcasts, and they always talk about veterans and how veterans prepare for games, and how rookies oftentimes have to discover what their pregame ritual is, and they're learning from the veterans what they do and how they eat and what they do before the game, you know, what they do after the game, how much they sleep, you know, just discovering what their own pregame ritual is. And if you look at, for example, like any professional athlete, whether it's basketball, soccer, football, or any other sport, anyone who's on the top of their game oftentimes has a pregame ritual. And This is something you basically can copy as well. And it's the same idea here where we talk about creating a flow state ritual. You want to create some sort of routine for yourself where you're getting your mind and body ready to focus and get stuff done. So Brooks just mentioned, right, a morning ritual essentially where he's getting himself ready. And I think a big assumption that a lot of people make is that this only applies to you, quote unquote, morning people. But in fact, that's not true. It doesn't matter what time you wake up. It's just a matter of as soon as you wake up, are you following a routine of some sort to get yourself ready? So whether you wake up at 5 a.m., 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it doesn't really matter. Anyone can implement some sort of routine to get themselves ready. If you look at most professional sports, most of the games take place in the afternoon and later in at night, and they still have that pregame routine, you know, that they're doing later in the day, right? So it doesn't really matter what time of the day you do this. Now, you and I both tend to wake up a little earlier and get stuff done in the morning. And so that's why we talk about it in the sense of a morning routine, but you don't have to be a morning person to implement a routine like this, right? So I kind of want to put that out there as well, because whether you wake up early morning or you tend to get your stuff done late at night, even if you're somebody who tends to do their best work at midnight, I'm pretty sure you can implement some sort of routine to kind of get yourself ready to say, okay, I'm going to do some of my most amazing work at midnight. So let's make sure like 11:30 or maybe 10 minutes before you start working that you have some sort of pregame ritual, right, to kind of get yourself ready. So for me, it just happens to be in the morning where I review my to-do list. I look at my calendar. Big part of my routine is actually making green tea in the morning. And so I have this like amazing machine. It's a Breville machine that's an automatic tea maker. We can put a link to it in the show notes. I was recommended by this by John, who's in the dojo. Let me tell you, one of the best purchases I've made in the last few years, because it just makes tea creation so much easier because you just press a button. But it's still part of my morning routine. And what's funny is that I just feel really good about going through that routine. And by the end of it, when I put my tea down and I want to start getting some work done, sometimes I don't even drink my tea. I'm just so focused on getting stuff done that I forget to drink my tea. And that's when you know you have a really good routine going on, right? And an additional strategy that I found to be really helpful, I don't know if you've done this before, Brooks, but I find that if I can visualize how I'm going to do something or how my day goes, it's much easier for me to get into like a flow state or to get in the zone compared to times when I have to tackle something, but I'm not sure how I'm able to accomplish it or how I'm able to get it done. If I can't visualize it or just to think through a couple steps ahead, oftentimes I will run into roadblocks and I find it way more challenging, which is something we'll talk about a little bit later. And so I think being able to visualize what you're going to do that morning or that day will make a big difference.
Indeed knows it's a cautious time for businesses across America. There is uncertainty with every decision and every financial commitment is vetted. And now your next important hire is more crucial than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. An example is sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed's offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/TPS. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/TPS. Terms and conditions apply and offer is valid through September 30th. All right, I want to talk about sleep. In this episode, we talk about how you can't get into a flow state if you don't have the right conditions, and one of those conditions is energy. You can't have peak energy if you aren't getting enough sleep, and Sleep Cycle is the app to help you improve your sleep. Sleep Cycle has tracked and measured sleep for over a decade, both with its great free option and its awesome premium paid version. Some sleep tools are annoying and intrusive, but not Sleep Cycle. It just works away in the background when you sleep. Anyone who sleeps, hopefully that is you, can benefit from Sleep Cycle. So, what does Sleep Cycle do? Well, in the free version, there's the sleep training feature. It uses cognitive behavioral therapy and splits the training program into a series of emails. That program's designed with sleep experts and introduces you to the factors that influence sleep and things you can do to improve yours. You'll learn tons of stuff, and I bet you'll find some perspective on your own habits that'll help you sleep better. In the free version, there's also insights, sleep cycle analysis, and preventative care. Now, in the premium version, there's some additional features which are great. There's the wake-up window. This is its signature feature. It detects when you're at the perfect time to wake up in the lightest part of your sleep cycle, and then it wakes you up then. You'll wake up rested and refreshed. There's also the sleep aid feature. Even if you don't care about tracking and analyzing your sleep, you can still get a lot of benefit out of sleep cycle. Sleep aid helps you with your evening routine to get relaxed and find comfort before sleeping. There's meditation guides, stories, music, which we're a big fan of, landscape ambiance, and even ASMR sounds. The thing I usually hate about alarms is they always seem to wake you up at the total wrong time. You wake up and you feel groggy and you sometimes feel worse than when you went to bed. That's been gone since I started using the smart alarms and the wake up window in Sleep Cycle. It tells you when you're at your latest point in the sleep cycle, hence the name, and then it wakes you up at that point. I really enjoy this feature. I always wake up feeling energized ever since I started using it. So go to sleepcycle.com/TPS today to start improving your sleep for free. Remember to go to sleepcycle.com/TPS and you'll also get access to Sleep Cycle Premium for 7 days absolutely free, or just click the link in the show notes. Payment info is required, but you can cancel for free at any time. That's sleepcycle.com/TPS and start improving your sleep tonight for free. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. This is literally something we talked about in an Asian efficiency meeting this morning. So what do you do? Well, Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, that need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read, but you just never had time to. More on that in a moment. If you don't want to read on your screen, no problem. With its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, if you have one, on your lunch break, while you exercise, or while you're just walking around the house or walking around the neighborhood. I use Blinkist in what I think is a bit of a unique way. I use it to get the main points of a book, and then I can decide if it's a book I want to make time to read in full later. That way, I get the info from a bunch of books, but I don't waste time on reading full books that don't have much to say. I only read the great books. Here are a few books I'm liking from Blinkist right now. The first is The Virgin Way, Everything I Know About Leadership by Richard Branson. I love business biographies and business stories, and Blinkist has a great selection of those. The next is Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. That's one of those books that is referenced all over the place, but for whatever reason, I had never got around to reading it. Blinkist is perfect for these types of books. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to blinkist.com/TPS and try it free for 7 days and save 20% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, blinkist.com/TPS to start your 7-day free trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at blinkist.com/TPS. This is actually something that I learned actually from this podcast, The Productivity Show. A tip that you gave, this is way before I even started with AE, is that concept of visualizing your day and the steps you're going to need to take. Because a lot of times, and this was when I was kind of trying to assemble my morning ritual, my morning routine. And a lot of times people talk about visualization, but usually the visualization people talk about is in the context of vision board type things, like someday I will live on the beach in Hawaii or whatever, or someday my business will be making $2 million a year, like that type of visualization, which I think is important. But another thing that I layered in learning from you on the podcast, actually, is that concept of visualizing your day. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about when we were talking about the three things you need to get into a flow state. And one of them is that clarity that you need to be able to know what it is that you're going to do. And if, like you said, if you can't visualize what it is you need to do, that's a sign that you probably don't have that clarity of goals and you're probably not going to get into that flow state. So you want to take a little bit of time first to break it down. We record these podcasts live in front of the dojo, our Awesome Dojo members, and they've been sharing some of the things they do in their ritual to get into the flow state. So a number of people have said they listen to, like we said, Spotify playlists, brain.fm. Katie, who contributes to the dojo and the podcast a lot, says she has a lamp. So she has a little lamp on her desk, and when she turns it on, that's a cue that things are getting serious and I have work to do. So no lamp, no focus state for Katie.
So if you want some additional help from us in terms of building your own routine and getting some sort of morning ritual going, whether you wake up at 7 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or later in the day, we have a great short course on this called the Morning Ritual Starter Kit. So if you go to theproductivityshow.com/morning, you can go ahead and grab yourself a copy there. We are going to walk you through our 6-step morning routine and that you can just copy and paste right away and use it yourself instantly. So go check that out at theproductivityshow.com/morning. So that's the first step here to create a flow state ritual. So let's move on to tip number 2 here, and that is to choose one important task. And this goes back to the three components part that we mentioned earlier, where we want to make sure that we just have one single activity that we focus on. And we've talked a lot about how multitasking is a bad idea, right? And our brain cannot even do multitasking. It can only focus on one thing at a time. So if we want to maximize our brain power, we want to make sure we only do one thing at a time. If you combine that with the idea of eating your frog, which is the whole idea of doing the hardest thing first thing in the morning, or do the hardest thing as soon as you wake up and get ready for the day, regardless of what time you wake up, you kind of set the tone for the rest of the day, but it also helps you narrow down and say, hey, I just need to do one thing at a time in sequence and in order, ideally. So instead of doing A, B, C at the same time, you do task A first, finish that, then you do task B, finish that, and then you move on to task C. So you will never move on to the next task until you finish the first one, right? And so having this mindset and having this habit of just doing one thing at a time will allow you to get into a flow state much easier compared to multitasking. And if you ask anyone, even someone who's really good at multitasking, I think 99% of people will say that they're never really into a flow state because they're doing multiple things at the same time. They're losing focus. They're trying to remember, what was I doing again? Right? And their attention is all over the place. Whereas if you think about every single time you were into a flow state, I bet you were probably doing one particular thing, one activity, one task that you were focusing on. So think about that. And hopefully you start to recognize that it's really important that you just do one task or one thing at a time.
Yeah. So you'll probably notice a theme here. This is, again, tying back to those three things that we said you need to get into a flow state. And one of them was having a single activity you can direct your attention to. And that becomes the importance of breaking things down, like using the example I gave earlier of creating that Microsoft Teams masterclass course. I did some thinking ahead of time before I even started working on it. What are my single tasks that I'm going to need to do as I work through this? And so once I had kind of broken it down into the different sections of the course, I broke down into what the one things I could single focus on would be. So for me, it was very clear and specific. It was, okay, I'm going to write the script, I'm going to create the slides, I'm going to record the audio, I'm going to record the video, and I'm going to assemble it, edit it. And so it had these steps. And so basically, I was able to just get in a flow state because I knew exactly what I was going to need to do. And I wasn't trying to tackle this amorphous blob of a priority that I needed to do for that week or that day. It was very, very specific. So I was able to just grind on it without even thinking about what it is that I needed to do. So this becomes really, really important for getting into that flow state.
In my opinion, the most productive people are the ones who do one thing at a time. So the next time you look at your to-do list, I recommend that you look at it and say, okay, how can I do one thing at a time? And before I move on to the next task, I cannot start until the first task is 100% done. And it's going to feel maybe a little bit counterintuitive, but you'll start to notice that you'll actually be more focused and you will get more work done in less time, even though it can feel counterintuitive because sometimes multitasking can feel like, oh, well, if I do three or four things at the same time, isn't that more efficient? Well, in reality, it's not. And they've done multiple studies around that where they had a group of people who had the same to-do list, but were only allowed to do one task at a time versus a group of people who were allowed to do the same to-do list, but multitasking it, where they were allowed to do multiple things at the same time. What they have found is that the people who were in the first camp, meaning they can only do one thing at a time, were faster getting stuff done compared to the second group where they were allowed to multitask. So it's really in your benefit to just choose one most important task, focus on that, get that done first before you move on to the next thing. And that's something I really try to remind myself every single day. It's always why I have this frog picture here in the background as well, to remind myself, hey, Tian, eat your frog, do one thing at a time, because that's how I'm going to achieve focus. That's how I'm going to achieve a flow state as well. And just, again, think back of the last time you were in the zone. Chances are you were doing one particular thing at a time. And so if you need some additional help on that particular area, we actually have a really short course on this called Focus Filter. If you go to theproductivityshow.com/focus, we're going to give you 7 of our best focus hacks that will help you get focused and into a flow state as well. So that, again, is tip number 2, choose one important task. All right, let's move on to tip number 3 here. And that is, you want to make sure that it is challenging, but not too hard, right? So whenever you're picking a task to focus on, the one thing, make sure it's challenging, but not too hard. Brooks, can you dive into what you mean with this?
Yeah. Now, we do have to acknowledge that sometimes you don't have a choice, the task that you have to do. You're given a project and it's either going to, maybe some parts of it are going to, you know, from your boss or whatever, or a client, maybe some parts of that are going to be more challenging than others. But what we mean is if you dread a task, you're going to have a really hard time losing yourself in it. If it's something like, I have certain things that I just do not enjoy doing. So I know it's going to be, and it's not that I can't do it, but it's going to be very difficult for me to go into flow state for. However, if you have something to do and it's just so easy, it's just so easy that it's not challenging, then it's also can be difficult to get into a flow state because you're not engaged, you're not challenged. So what we recommend you do is challenge yourself just enough so that you don't get bored and distracted, but you are able to accomplish it. And then set that goal and concentrate your attention on it. So this is that comes in handy if you do have something easy to do, like going back to that file folder example I gave earlier. Obviously, filing file folders in a cabinet is not something that is exactly challenging. So I would do things like try to make it a game, like try to beat my time filing it, or try to come up with different ways to organize the folders to make it easier for me to do later. Like I didn't know I was doing it back then, but I was trying to make it more challenging and engaging, even though the task itself wasn't. So yeah, find that sweet spot which keeps your attention and grounded, but doesn't make you anxious and frustrated. Again, we recognize that's not always possible.
Another thing that is a little bit challenging about this aspect is that you'll find yourself in situations where, you know what, you got to do this particular task, but you don't know how difficult it is. And there's oftentimes not enough information for you to know how challenging it might be, or if you have enough information to actually get it done. And so that's something that you have to be okay with, because I think most of the time we don't have everything we need to know to get something done. It's oftentimes the case that we have to communicate with our coworkers, talk to someone else, get clarity about, you know, what we need to get done. Going back to the clarity aspect, we want to make sure we know what we're supposed to get done, right? So as an example, I remember this was a few years ago. I was trying to plan like a trip throughout Europe where I have friends like in the Netherlands, where I grew up, in Germany, in the UK, in Spain, and in Hungary, because I lived in Budapest for a while too. And I only had 3 weeks. So I had to go to like 5 different countries in 21 days, and then also include jet lag and dealing with that kind of thing. So I was like, okay, I know my boundaries. I know my parameters. I don't know the exact details of how I'm going to pull this off, but I know at least the boundaries of, okay, I have 21 days, right? I need to leave from this. I knew I needed to leave from Heathrow, which is in London, to go back to the United States. So I knew that. But everything else was kind of like up in the air. I had to figure out other people's schedule, you know, when I could see them. So there's a lot of logistical things there. And I have never done this before, right? But as soon as I knew the parameters and I kind of knew, okay, this is my boundary, this is where I need to kind of like pay attention to, that was good enough for me to get started. And I had no idea how difficult and challenging it might be. But once I got started in it, I was so into it that it probably took me like 4 or 5 hours to kind of like handle logistics, talk to people on WhatsApp, look at their Facebook posts just to make sure that, you know, they were actually in town and that kind of stuff. And then I put it all into like an Evernote and then like a Google Sheet and put my itinerary together, put it in TripIt, right? Yes, I could have delegated some of that work and all that stuff, but I was so into it. And it was just challenging enough, even though I didn't know how difficult it would have been. And so the next time when you look at your to-do list, if you feel like you have incomplete information or you don't feel like you're kind of quite ready yet, I would say still get started, because oftentimes as you're going through it, you're going to discover, you know, where you might be stopped or where you might be blocked. But don't let that stop you from actually getting started, because if you can't get started, you never get into a flow state, right? We can only get into a flow state when we are able to get started.
Yeah, going back to that Microsoft Teams example, which I've kind of been referencing, because that was the most recent time that I've been kind of like breaking down, like, why did I get into that flow state? What was it about it? And for me, like when I'm creating content, creating courses, 99% of the time I record videos on my Mac. I use both Mac and Windows, but that type of work, I tend to use Mac. It's what I'm most comfortable with. Even traditionally, if I've been recording Windows topics, I'll be recording it on my Mac using VirtualBox, which is a virtualization thing. So Windows is kind of in a window on the Mac. However, this time for this course, I made a goal. I was going to create the whole thing in Windows. So every video, every screenshot was made on a Windows computer on my Surface tablet. And I wanted to do that mainly because just to keep it interesting and challenging and be outside of my comfort zone. I've made a million videos and courses on my Mac, but I wanted to do something. And again, I didn't click into me that this was doing it on the reason of getting in my flow state. But now that I think about it, it had that effect of just that extra level of engagement, doing something that was outside of my comfort zone.
I will say, for those who don't know what Brooks does on a daily basis, like, he does operations, he does a lot of teamwork with other people and a lot of pairing and training with other people. I mean, he runs a lot of different things in the background at Agent Efficiency, not just the podcast. He does a lot of different things. And the fact that he was able to get that masterclass done in one sprint really showed how much flow state he needed to get that done, because that was a lot of work in one sprint. And there's a lot of other things we have to do inside a sprint as well. So I was thoroughly impressed, Brooks, when you got that done in one sprint.
Hashtag flow state.
So again, that is tip number 3 here. We want to make sure that it is challenging, but not too hard. And if it is too hard, what can we do to simplify it, right? And oftentimes breaking down will help a lot with that. All right, let's move on to tip number 4 here. And we want to make sure that we find a quiet time and place and location and situation to work. Our mind is like a muscle and it can only do so much in a single day. So we want to make sure that anytime we need to focus, get into a flow state, we want to make sure that our environment, our time and place is helping us, right? If we are in a really stressful situation, right? Kids are in the background crying. There's a you know, car racing through the neighborhood that's really loud. There's just like so much going on around you. It's going to be so much more challenging to focus compared to, say, hey, you're home alone. There's nobody there. You know, you have a few hours to yourself. It's super quiet. You can look out. It's, It's like nature in front of you. That situation is going to be so much more conducive for you to get into a flow state, right? Because it's like your environment is there to help and support you. So whenever you want to get into a flow state, think about the time and place and situation where you're at and how can you adapt or change it so it can actually allow you to get into this flow state. And so maybe that might mean that you have to work during different part of the day, right? So for example, you might have to wake up earlier before your kids wake up so that you can kind of like get some focus worked on and into a flow state to write your book or work on a project or start your business. Or maybe you have to work later in the day where everyone went to bed and you go, okay, now it's kind of peaceful and quiet and now I can do the things that I need to do, right? So that's one example. You could also go to a completely different location. I know many authors have gotten their work done because they booked a hotel room for a week and were able to write their book that way. Oftentimes when I do quarterly planning or do some planning for the company, I tend to like go to a different city or a different country sometimes or a different state to kind of like get myself out of a routine here, different place and different situation so I can focus on what I need to do. And so those are some things you want to consider.
Yeah. And another thing that really helps, like we talked about earlier, is going into that using music if you have to. So for example, this concept of finding a location, a situation to get into flow state was more difficult once the pandemic started and my family was home all the time. Before I'd have the house all to myself. Now I have teenagers home. I have my wife home. So I wasn't necessarily, and you know, like I said earlier, I couldn't go to Starbucks or the library or whatever. I mean, it was basically home or nothing. So I use music a lot for that. I'd have my Spotify playlists. I'd have my repeating songs. So that became my strategy to get into that flow state. Also, I'm sure we've all experienced it where you go and you work in some other location and somehow you're so much more productive and you're not doing anything else differently necessarily. But for example, yesterday, like I said before, I took my son to a basketball camp and I was working on a camp chair in a park under a shady tree. And I got so much done during that 2 hour period where I was waiting for him to finish. And it's not to say I wouldn't have got a lot done when I was home, but there's just something about switching it up to really help is conducive for that.
So again, that is tip number 4, find a quiet time and place and situation to focus and get some work done. All right, let's move on to the 5th and final tip here for this podcast episode, and that is to set a deadline and use a Pomodoro timer. So if you're not familiar with what a Pomodoro timer is, it's a technique called the Pomodoro technique where you set a timer for 25 minutes and you focus on one particular task. And then as soon as that timer rings, you then take a 5-minute break and then repeat that cycle. And then after 4 Pomodoros or 4 timer sessions, you take a longer break. And then you kind of like repeat that over and over every single day to focus and get stuff done. And a lot of people find this very helpful. A lot of people find this tremendously beneficial for especially those who have a hard time concentrating or find themselves easily distracted. And so by setting a timer, you can then say, okay, I'm just going to focus on this for a really short period of time. 25 minutes is not that long. Everyone can focus for 25 minutes if you know what you need to do. And so this is a technique that's really helpful. And we have a blog post on this as well that we'll link to here in the show notes that you can kind of go through and check out. People always ask us, you know, what's a good baseline TN? Like how many Pomodoro should I shoot for? And again, everyone's different. If you're brand new to this technique, I would say, let's just start with 2, right? Get 2 Pomodoros done a day. So that's 15 minutes, 5-0 of focus time. If you're a little bit more intermediate in advance, I would say go for 4. That means like almost 2 hours of focus time. And that's kind of what I shoot for personally as well. I try to shoot for 2 hours of uninterrupted focus time a day. And if I can do that, I know I'm going to have a really productive week. It's kind of like a good leading indicator to measure. So if you want to measure how productive you are on a regular basis, just measure how many Pomodoros you do in a week. And you'll start to notice some weeks are more productive than others. And it's probably related to how many focus blocks or Pomodoros you've done in a particular week.
So Cesar in the chat with the live streaming asked an interesting question, which is, how do you deal with Pomodoros and being in a flow state in the sense that when the Pomodoro rings at 25 minutes to take your break, doesn't that take you out of the flow state? That's an interesting question. And I'm curious about your thoughts on this, Tam. There's different schools of thought. Some people say, no, you should stop and take that break because taking breaks will allow you to restore your energy and keep going longer. Whereas some people say, like Katie, for example, in the dojo chat says, yeah, sometimes take a break, but sometimes just go through it. If really in a flow state, just that alarm goes and go through it, or just set a different time period for Pomodoro, maybe like 40 minutes instead of 25 or something like that. There's no law that says you have to take a 25 minute work time. So what do you do in that? What do you personally do in that case? Do you just keep grinding through, or do you do longer Pomodoros?
When I first discovered this technique, I just followed it by the book and I said, okay, 25 minutes, regardless of how things go, I'm going to take a break after that and then repeat that and then take a longer break and then do that day in, day out, right? And once I kind of got into the groove of that, I definitely noticed after a while where I went, oh man, 25 minutes already? Okay, I guess I'm going to take a break, right? And then continue afterwards. And then over time, what I ended up doing was changing it to 50 minutes. So I would do a 50-minute 5-0 Pomodoro timer and then take a 10-minute break. And what I would just recommend based on my experience and also working with tons of clients, that if you have a hard time focusing, you get easily distracted, you find it hard to concentrate, stick to the 25 minutes and repeat that cycle as many times as you can. And once you hit the point where you go, oh my gosh, 25 minutes already? Man, I want to continue working on this right now. Then that might be a good sign to then transition to say, okay, I'm going to continue till whenever I'm done. Or I'm going to change my timer setting and say, hey, let's set it to 40 minutes, 45 or 50. 50 for me is kind of the sweet spot. And I found that to be most effective for most people as well. And so give that a try. And if you do that consistently, then after a while, you can just completely get rid of the Pomodoro timer altogether and just work on stuff and then finish it whenever you feel like it. And so for me, the Pomodoro technique is kind of like training wheels for a lot of people. And I typically use it nowadays whenever I feel like I'm procrastinating and I have a hard time convincing myself to get something done. That's when I'll bust out a Pomodoro timer and say, okay, Tan, I just need to do this for 25 minutes. I hate to admit this, but I oftentimes do this with checking email because one, I want to force myself to not check email for longer than 25 minutes. And then also, I don't particularly enjoy checking my email. And so I want to race through it in 25 minutes as much as possible. So that's how I kind of like get myself going.
For the more tactical aspects of Pomodoro technique, dojo members have been sharing these physical devices that they use for doing Pomodoros. So there's a lot of apps and stuff like that out there. But if you don't want the distraction of a digital app, we'll include the links to some of these in the show notes. So Giacomo is recommending one called Tick Time. Linda uses one called the Time Timer. Katie mentions one called Funny Today 365 that she doesn't recommend. So we won't link to that one. But if you see that one, she does not recommend it. But lots of options for how you do the actual timer part. You don't have to use an app and you don't have to find a tomato timer. Lots of cool purpose-built tools out there for it.
So again, that is tip number 5 here, to set a deadline and use a Pomodoro timer. So as always, we like to end our podcast episodes with something simple and actionable. And that's something we always like to do at Asian Efficiency, whether you read a blog post, listen to a podcast episode, or attend one of our trainings or courses. And for today's episode, what we recommend that you do is that you start creating your own ritual for getting into a flow state and then do only one thing at a time. And we know that if you can do that consistently, you are going to be Asian efficient and you're going to be so much more productive. So if you want to have links to everything that we talked about today in the show notes, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/314. Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.